Amen. Thank you. Thank you. The birthday of a king. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to have a ladies' trio, I believe it is. Ladies?
Followed a star to a place unexpected. Would you believe, after all we projected, a child in a manger? Lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited for? 'Cause how many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? And how many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me?
Bringing our gifts for the newborn Savior, all that we have, whether costly or meek, because we believe.
Gold for his honor and frankincense for his pleasure, and myrrh for the cross he'll suffer. Did you believe? Is this who we've waited for? 'Cause how many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me?
Only one did that for me.
'Cause how many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me?
Thank you very much. That was beautiful. Let's please everybody stand and turn in your hymnals to 149. 149, His name is wonderful. As soon as we start singing, the kids will be dismissed to children's church. 149.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages, Almighty. Down before him, mighty King.
Oh, wait, is that it? Oh, I thought. Okay, good. You may be seated.
Morning, everyone. Yeah. This may not work, but this one does. Scrooge, huh? Yeah, Brother Rick Warner and Jenny Dunn, our secretary, worked really hard to get a website up that has, we can update the information quickly. And the nice thing is if you go to that website, you look at the top, there's a scrolling banner, like a news banner that goes across the top, and it will let you know if there's a change. As soon as we make the decision, and like Pastor Mike said, it's based upon the best information we have at the time. That'll be on there, and you can go there and see it, or you can, I carry my cell phone all the time. I don't have a home phone, but I have my cell phone. You can just text me or call me, and I'll let you know either way, and it's not a problem at all, and or call Pastor Mike at his home, and he'll also pass on the information, and we try to make those decisions carefully and thoughtfully and prayerfully, just know that when we do so, we try to make sure people have time to be aware and to make other decisions that go along with those. You know, my wife is amazing. She really is. I have an amazing wife. And she has given me tremendous gifts at Christmas time over the years. I've gotten all kinds of amazing things. The list goes on. I probably by now, after 37 years, probably hundreds of beautiful gifts. Amazing gifts. They're wrapped gorgeously. They're so intriguing to look at as they sit there under the tree. And I've taken every one of those gifts that she has given me, and I have rented a storage locker, and I take them and I put them in it. And someday I'm going to open them and see exactly what's inside those beautiful gifts that she has gone to all the effort to give me. Do you believe that? No. I tear into those puppies. And they're always good stuff. I mean, she gives things like shotgun shells. I mean, shotgun shells are a great gift. I don't need a tie, but I need shotgun shells, okay? And bullets for my pistol and fishing lures and things like that. You know, she's thoughtful gifts, useful gifts, hammers and screwdrivers. The point is, when she gives me the gift, I open it, and then I try to put it to work in my life. Well, God gave us the most unspeakable, amazing gift in His Son, Jesus Christ. But too oftentimes people leave the gift unopened. They don't open it up and take it to its full extent that it was intended. Jesus Christ is an amazing, amazing gift from God to mankind. But it wasn't the gift, it wasn't the birth in the manger. It wasn't the birth in the stable and the laying in the manger and the shepherds and the wise. That's not the end of the gift. That's the beginning. But what happens when you unwrap it? Where does it take us when we unwrap the gift called Christ and see where that gift ends up? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, please. I love Christmas. I love it for lots of reasons, but the thing that I have come to love it the most for is because it's the beginning of a love story that has a profound and eternal, beautiful ending. Colossians 1, chapter 18. Turn there with me, please. Let's look at where that gift, that Christmas gift, ends up. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. I'm going to read through these verses, and then I'm going to come back and make some points about some things in there just to kind of amplify what it says here. But begin with verse 18. Please follow along with me. And He, that's Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. So this gift that began as a baby is going to have preeminence in all things. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies, in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you. The gift is now giving you as a gift to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That is amazing. That's where the gift goes. Let's look at some of those things. First of all, verse 20, it says, having made peace. That is peace between God and man. Peace between God and man. Through the blood of his cross, and he reconciled all things unto himself. And then we go down there, it says in verse 21, yet now hath he reconciled. That means it is total, complete, and full restoration of the relationship. Christ has done everything. That gift that was given has given back full restoration and access to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he goes on there and he says, through death, that means the death on the cross, to present you and I so that he could present us. The gift wants to give us as a gift, holy, that means separated from sin and set apart to God. Unblameable means literally without spot or blemish. And unreprovable means beyond blame, to convey even more the idea of unaccusable in his sight. So the gift is now giving a gift, and the gift that he's giving is us because he is now in us. That is the story of Christmas. That's the unwrapping of the gift of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 25. Wherefore, Paul says, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given unto me to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made known, made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches, that denotes the abundance and plenitude of God. Of the glory of this mystery, something hidden that is now revealed among the Gentiles, which is what we are. This is the mystery, which is, what's it say there? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the mystery. Stop and ponder that. That is the gift. The gift of Jesus Christ, the gift that came at Christmas, is the gift that gives back to us. It comes full circle. Jesus Christ, by his life and his ministry and his death and his burial and his resurrection and his ascension, has now put us in a position where we can become the gift given to God because of him. And the mystery and the gift that he gave to us is himself in us. That is the gift, full circle. Christ in you. Stop and think about the difference between you without Christ and you with Christ. You are wretched and sinful and ugly and nasty and mean and ornery and putrid on your own. And so am I. And there's not a person in here that can stand up and say, no, that's not me. Because if you do, you're a liar. That's the facts. The Bible says there is none righteous. We've all sinned. Nobody can walk before a holy and righteous God in our own merit and say, I'm good to go. Don't even think about it. You'd be vaporized in a moment by the sheer brilliance of his glory. But what does that gift that God gave at Christmas do? He comes and he lives inside of us. Christ in you. I mean, if that doesn't make us better, I don't know what will. That's profound. It's just so profound. That's what Christmas is. Take a sinful, broken, blinded, pathetic, sinning, crusty, crotchety Scrooge guy and put Christ in him. That's the most ill-fitting thing I've ever seen. There is nothing about me that matches up with Christ before he comes into my life. Or you either. That's Christmas, folks. When we celebrate Christmas, don't just celebrate the birth. Celebrate unwrap the package. Take it to its full extent. Christ in you, the hope of glory. One old theologian said it this way. Jesus became Emmanuel, God with us, that he might forever be God in us. He went from God with us to God in us. That's the Christmas story, from gift to application. God with us to God in us. And that is exciting. That is very exciting. In Ephesians chapter 3, turn over there, please. Ephesians chapter 3. We'll begin with verse 14. Because it's one thing to know it, it's another thing to comprehend it. I mean, it would do no good for me to get a great gift from my wife and unwrap it and see it, but not actually comprehend it, use it, experience it, revel in it. Love it. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, that he would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's where Christ wants to be. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may also be able to comprehend. That doesn't mean just to understand, but to reach out and grab a hold of it and seize it on our own. Go after it. Get a hold of this morning, folks. The miracle of Christmas is not just the gift given, but it's a gift applied. It's the gift applied. That you would comprehend with all the saints, what is the breadth? How wide is it? What is the length? How long is it? What is the depth? How profound is it? And what is the height? How tall is it? And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled to the brim. That means to the brim. With all the fullness of God. The grand and glorious sum total of all that God is filling us. Grab a hold of that. Emmanuel, which means God with us, came so that he could be God in us. And if he never makes it to God in you, then Christmas really doesn't have any meaning. It's just a day. It's just an event. It's a national holiday and a social event. Unless Christ is in you, you've never applied the gift that came to you. The gift's been given. Have you unwrapped it? So important. So what happens when we do? What do we get? Well, turn to Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2. Verses 8 through 11. I think that if I were to go back in time and be somebody that was there when in the region and the story of Jesus' birth, I think I would want to be a shepherd. I just think I would want to be a shepherd. I think that the message to them was so profoundly personal and purposeful. And it would have been amazing to be there that night. You know, to be there that event. And so look at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of, what's the next thing? Great joy. Which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angels say, I give you good tidings, a good message of great joy. And when we take the gift called Christ, and we go from having Christ with us to Christ in us, one of the things we get is joy unspeakable. Turn to 1 Peter 1:8. This is a joy, by the way, that surpasses circumstance. 7, if we could, please. It says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet ye believe, ye rejoice with what? Joy what? Joy unspeakable. What is joy unspeakable? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. What is that? What is joy that's so deep you can't even speak it? Stop and think about that. When we have Christ inside of us, we have joy, the capacity, the ability to have joy unspeakable. That is a joy that can't be suppressed by circumstance. It's a deep, abiding knowledge that all is well because we're with the Lord. Joy is a deep down sense of well-being that abides in the heart of the person who knows that between us and God, all is well. Do you realize that if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you can never go to hell? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It's all done. Where you spend eternity is settled. Nobody can get in the way of that. Read Romans chapter 8. Nobody can get between you and God. Nothing can penetrate the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing can spread out and shed and move the blood away from your account. Nothing can pull the robe of righteousness off of the top of you. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And it doesn't matter. That's why Paul could say that all the things he went through are light afflictions. Because he knows. Read 2 Timothy. He knows. I've done my job. I've finished my course. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. World, bring it on. Because you can't take that which is the most important. You can't take my soul. And you can't take my eternity with God. And that should give us a joy. We just need to remember that. We need to remember that. And that word unspeakable means it transcends words and explanation. The relief from the guilt and the burden of sin and condemnation is a joy that exceeds words. You and I know on our own that we could never be righteous. And yet because of the gift applied, the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied, folks, everything else is of little consequence by comparison. It really is. If you were to think of our lives, if you took a rope and ran it from here to the end of the sanctuary, just a white rope, and you painted the front end of it, the first half inch red, that's your life. The rest is eternity. But it goes on, out the door, and out the other door, and across the parking lot, and it just keeps going. Eternity is so big compared to this life, which is so small. That's why it's so important that we accept Christ, that we open the gift, and make sure that we have Christ in us, because we get the joy that comes from that. That is so important. Christ was born as a baby, but that same Christ wants to be the source of our inexpressible and unexplainable joy. So ask yourself this morning, do I have that joy? As a Christian, if you know you're saved and you don't have that joy, we're forgetting who saved us. And if you don't have that joy, if you've never accepted Christ, then you've never opened the gift of Christmas. It's still waiting under the tree, so to speak. It's still waiting to be opened. Another thing that we receive, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Looking at verses about the coming of the Lord. Isaiah 9, 6. Great passage about the coming Messiah. And it says, for unto us a child is born. We celebrate that at Christmas. That's what this is all about right behind me. Unto us a son is given. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and what's that last one? The Prince of Peace. Isaiah foretells the coming of Christ and says he's going to be called the Prince of Peace. Well, guess what Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says? It says, be careful for nothing but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the what? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So this baby that's the Prince of Peace, that's the present, the Prince of Peace. But guess what happens when he comes inside? That peace shall keep our hearts and minds. We have them. We get that peace. First of all, we get peace with God. Jesus Christ reconciles us to God. He takes a sinful man that is set apart from God and reconciles us to God through the blood of the cross. That makes the way possible for me to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And when I do, not only because there is peace, I can approach God. But when I do, when I accept what Jesus Christ has done, I receive the peace of God. Now stop and think about that. Where does the lack of peace come from? Isn't the absence of peace because we feel out of control? That something's beyond our scope and our ability? Something has got us anxious? Something's got us worried? I can't fix it. I can't touch it. I can't reach out. Or sometimes it's just a what if. I don't know what's coming. What's going to happen when I have this test at the doctor, or I have this appointment and all these things? Well, God knows everything. God can do everything. Nothing is too hard for God. So all of a sudden I have Christ in me. I have God in me. The God who is sovereign and holy and almighty, and who knows the beginning from the end. All of the reasons why I would not have peace have been taken away. And I can know the peace of God. And the Bible says it passes understanding. That means that it doesn't have to make sense. It didn't make any sense when Paul was on the ship and the ship was in a storm and they tried everything they could and it was going to wreck and everybody else is they're sick and they're puking up and they're trying to find ways to get off the ship in their own way and they're desperate and they're scared. And he says, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. Eat some food, because my God, whom I serve, has said it's going to be okay. Amen. Folks, that's the kind of peace we have. That is the kind of peace we have. I got to tell you, when my dad died 5 days after his 50th birthday, I sat at his bedside, held his hand, and watched him breathe his last, and watched the little EKG go from blips to line. And you know what? My dad went to glory. He just went to heaven. It was a beautiful thing. And I knew a couple things right then. I knew that he was ready to be received. And I knew that I didn't need him in my life anymore to fulfill what God had for me to do, because God took him home. And God knew that. And I was at peace then. And my mom was at peace. And my brother was at peace. And my sister. Well, not because of us. I mean, I could have stomped my feet and said, this is unfair. This isn't right. He's a good man. Why can't you take somebody that's a mean criminal guy? God's in control. God's in control. When I was on patrol, a lady that used to, remember Mabel Shepherd? She used to go to church here a long time ago. And I responded to a call on graveyard shift, and the ambulance went to her house, and I went there, and she went to the hospital, and then they did some tests. They couldn't figure out what was wrong, and they took her back home. And then she called again, and I got back to her house, and she was laying there on her bed, and I was holding her hand, and she died right there. And she was so much at peace. I got to tell you, the peace that was inside of her was profound. She was ready to go. I'm fine. I'm ready to go. It was just beautiful. I've also held the hands of people that died that weren't saved. It's not the same. It's not the same. Okay? There's a peace inside. If we open the gift and apply the gift of Jesus Christ to our lives, we have a peace that passes understanding. Doesn't mean we aren't tempted to be anxious. Doesn't mean we aren't tempted to stress out. But we don't have to. We don't have to, because we've been told that He will never leave us nor forsake us. We have this beautiful promise. So we have a peace with God and a peace, the peace of God. The Christ that was born as a baby is the same Christ that wants to be the source of inner peace. A peace that gives us a life that's free of anxiety and worry. We're not chasing after fears. We're living a life of boldness. Like the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. When you have all trials, count them as joy. I mean, there's no circumstance in life that has to take away our peace. When you take Christ from being next to you and you put him in you, it's a profound thing that happens. And the future isn't scary anymore. It doesn't have to be, because the future is eternity. So we get peace. And then the last thing I want to talk about is Matthew chapter 1. Turn back there, please. Looking at the gift that was given, this Jesus Christ as a gift. In verses 21 through 23, and it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted, God with us. Stop and think about how enriched a person's life would be when you walked it with God. Is that not, I mean, think about just the total difference that walking with God is compared to walking without God. I mean, when I was taking an oral board in one of my police department tests, they asked me, hey, if you go back in time and meet anybody, who would you meet and why? And my answer was just instant. It was, I'd go meet Jesus. I mean, I just picture walking a day with Jesus. Every word he said, watching him, watching his eyes and his tone as he touched people and dealt with them. I mean, there is nothing that would give you more abundance in your life than walking with him. Actually, there is one thing that would give you more, and that's having him in you. Having him in you. John 10:10 said, The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I've come, this is Jesus, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it, what? More abundantly. More life, both physical and spiritual. The Bible calls Christ our life in Colossians chapter 3. So Christ came to indwell us that we might have this life that's more abundant, both spiritually and physically. That doesn't mean without hardship. That doesn't mean without, but it means a life that we can live life while we're living life. We can have an awareness of life. We can have an awareness of what's important. We can have an awareness of what's good and what's not. We can appreciate simple little things. We can love. We can laugh. We can weep with people. We can be connected to each other. A life of abundance, that which is not absolutely essential. That word abundantly means not essential, but that which is super added to make life full and amazingly complete beyond measure. There's a phrase the Bible uses, pressed down, shaken together, running over. The idea is this super added abundance that makes an empty life blessed and happy. You see, when we take the gift that was given at Christmas and we allow Christ to come into our lives, it changes our lives. It does no good to have the gift in your garage or in the family Bible on the end table. That doesn't do you any good. It's not until you put it into your life that it matters. I'm not richer because I know that Jesus was born at Christmas. I'm richer because Jesus lives inside me. Same for all of us. Matthew 1, 22 through 20, I shared that with you, but I just can't express that there is nothing that can make our lives more rich and full and blessed and beautiful than Christ in us. You see, because I have Christ in me, and I am so far from being where I should be. Paul said, not that I've arrived or apprehended. And I'm not even close. I mean, I'm not even close. But I tell you what, I've learned this, that when you got Christ inside, life's good. Okay, just bottom line. Now, we can mess that up. We can have a bad attitude. We can get a nasty perspective. We can get entitled. We can get grouchy. But that doesn't change the fact that with God in us, life's good. It's really good, if we let it be. You see, the baby that came to be with us is a gift that works best when it's in us. The baby that came as the Prince of Peace gives the most peace from the inside out. The baby that came, and the message from the angels that was joy, message of joy, good tidings of great joy, is nothing compared to the profound experience of having the joy of the Lord on the inside. So here's my question to you this morning. Have you unwrapped the gift? Have you put it on the inside? Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because if you haven't, then think of the most profound and amazing gift you've ever received and imagine unwrapping it and setting it aside. Because that's what's been happened. There's a whole world full of people that celebrate Christmas, but they haven't opened the gift. And if you are a Christian, I just encourage you to really embrace all that the gift is. Don't let fear God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Don't let worry be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Don't let the natural inclinations of our flesh keep us from God. Let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us love with a Christ-like love. Let us give with a generosity that says, I have a wealthy Father. Give of ourselves, not just our money, but give of ourselves, of our hearts and our times. Let us be the gift for the world that Christ was for us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen.
Amen.
Let us be the living love letters of Christmas to a lost world. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you this morning. I thank you for what Christmas really is. Thank you that Jesus came, but God, thank you so much that he's inside of us. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful indwelling. I just pray that we, as if those who are Christians, Lord, they would really appreciate and pay attention to the beauty of the gift. And if there are those here this morning, Lord, who have never accepted you as their Lord and Savior, they've never unwrapped and applied the gift, God, that they would do that today. And I would give you the glory and the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Would you please stand with me and turn to a song? This is not a Christmas song. It's not an invitation song. But I think it's a song that matches up. For as Christians, I hope that we can say this. 696, I love to tell the story. Tell the story of Christmas. Just don't stop with the birth. Take it to its full extent. Don't just read the first chapter, folks. Tell them the whole story. 696, I love to tell the story.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my love.
Chorus a cappella, stanza four.
I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory, I'll sing a new song.
Now.
I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love.
Amen. When you tell the story of Christmas, tell it all. Make sure you let them know, where does that package go when it's unwrapped and applied? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, thank you so much for coming, for being obedient to the cross. God, thank you for your death and resurrection, for your ascension, for your position at the right hand. But God, thank you also for being in us. I pray, dear God, that we as Christians would live the lives that should match the indwelling we have received. I give you the glory and the praise in Christ's name. Amen.